Okay, this is the today is April 29th, 7 p.m. It's a special planning and zoning meeting for in the month of April. Would all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Yes, good evening, Mr. Estuan.
Here.
Mr. Sanchez.
Here.
Mr. Di Giovanni.
Here.
Mr. Miskowitz.
Here.
Mr. Sadlak.
Here.
Skipchanski.
Here.
Mr. Blisman.
Here.
And we'll note for the record that Brian Corporation Counsel Brian Lima is here. And the planner, Ryan McAvoy, is also here, as is the zoning enforcement officer, Kevin White.
Okay, we'll move on to item number four, communications. Like for the record, I do not have any this evening. Five for the public portion. Is there anybody from the public who would like to address the commission at this time? Please state your name for the record.
I would like to point out for the members of the public who are here in attendance, if you do wish to speak on the re-subdivision application at 43 Franklin Avenue, you'll have an opportunity to do so during the public hearing for that application.
Is there anybody from the public who would like to address the commission at this time?
Hi,
Anybody
Ted.
from?
I'm sorry. This is Kim Shepherd.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, Kim.
Hi, how are you, Ted?
Oh, surviving.
I hear you. Is it the time where I would voice my concerns?
Are you referring
and
to
the
Is this referred to
hearing.
The 43 Franklin Ave application?
Right.
That will be the next item on the agenda. So if you could please hold your cut. This
okay.
is for an opportunity for anyone to speak on any matters related to planning on issues that are not on the agenda.
Okay, my
So
volume
anything
is a
else?
little low, so I'm trying to hear. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there anybody from the public who would like to address the commission for something that's not a public hearing at this time? Okay, Raul, I'd like to turn the meeting over to you because I have to recuse myself for the next item on the agenda because the public hearing I am not part of.
Okay. So item 6A, public hearing for 43 Franklin Avenue, re-subdivision application. There is no one from the applicant who is able or allowed to speak. So I would like to pass it on to Ryan McAvoy with any for his initial comments.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Acting Chair. So this application is an application for Ted and Cynthia Estuan, 43 Franklin Avenue in Derby for a re-subdivision. And essentially what they're looking to do is to take the lot that they currently have today, which is one lot presently, and create two lots. The plan or the lot that currently they occupy historically was two lots when the subdivision was approved back in the late 80s. And there is essentially, the effort is to split in half and be able to sell off one of the lots. So this technically constitutes a re-subdivision plan. And what that means is it's a subdivision plan for a lot that was originally part of a subdivision. It's a technicality, but it is the same procedure as a subdivision in the sense that if they have the lot area, the minimum standards, development standards, design standards, it should be something that's considered approvable by this commission. Now I did provide an email to the applicant and I had conversations with his surveyor and engineer about some items that they need to address on their plan. And I'm going to share my screen. I hope this works. And you all tell me if you can see the survey plan that is on my screen.
Yes.
Okay. So this is the same plan that was shared with the commission last month. And actually, Raul was the first one to point this out, but there is a discrepancy in the side setback shown on lot one, being the property where the applicant currently has a driveway, house, and pool. Lot two proposed is in this case to the to the right hand side when looking at it from the street. So I noted that the setbacks needed to be modified, but the most important I'd say issue there's really two. One is that the proposed lot two has a fairly substantial easement going through it, and that easement, according to the plan, is an easement in favor of the city of Derby for storm and sanitary sewer. Now, what that means is that the property, the new property, has to meet the minimum lot size of 15,000 square feet outside of this easement area. So this easement is about half, I'd say, of the property, more or less. So I made the applicant aware of it, that they have really two options. One is to pursue a reduction in the easement area. Now, that easement area is in favor of the city of Derby and would have to be taken up by the board of aldermen, alderwomen. Or two, that the lot line shown here would have to slide down to a point where there would be 15,000 square feet on this lot outside of the easement as it currently exists. So those two options are either or, as far as I'm concerned. But in order to meet that standard, I believe Mr. Estwan is going to approach the board of aldermen and alderwomen to attempt to try to get this easement reduced. And if he's successful, then perhaps the lot line as you see it would meet the standard of the zoning regulations. If not, then I think I, by best guess, sliding this lot line over some 6-7 feet or something to that effect would achieve the same goal. And there is another item that I pointed out in the subdivision regulations, that for an application like this, a re-subdivision application, technically the regulations do not require a conceptual lot development plan. On a more typical subdivision, let's say you've seen these in the past, off Sodom Lane and other places, where the applicant is required to show a plan as to how the lot could be developed. In other words, provisions for grading, house, driveway, things like that, not necessarily how it will be developed, but how it could be developed. And in this case, in a re-subdivision application, that requirement, the applicant's not required to take on unless the commission so desires. Now, that doesn't mean that that there wouldn't be the requirement of a plan submitted to show how the lot would ultimately be developed in detail. And that usually comes at the time of a building permit. There are sections in the regulations 195-129 that have the requirements needed in order to pull a building permit, in order to pull a zoning permit with the zoning enforcement officer. And that requires showing how the lots can be graded, how the drainage is going to be directed, and sediment erosion controls and all those things. So those are really my comments at the moment, that the lot line either needs to be adjusted, or as the applicant's pursuing, hopes to have easement reduced. But either way, that is essentially where the application stands at the moment. And I think what the applicant's hope is today is to just flush out any questions and concerns that the commission and or the public may have regarding this application as he tries to address these issues that I've brought to his attention.
Ryan,
yes.
You said that the goal is to get lot two to 15,000 square feet.
Yes.
Could there be a happy medium in moving the property line between the two lots and getting a reduction in the easement, or does it strictly have to be one or the other?
Well, it could be a combination, perhaps, but either way, if he meets that 15,000 threshold, then he meets the regulations.
Right.
I mean, it's really it's a pretty simple. exercise, really.
Ryan,
yes,
Gino DiGiovanni, why is there an easement going through the center? Or it's kind of hard for me to see it, but why is there an easement going through this property from the city of Derby?
That's
what
the
is
way,
it for? Or
yeah, it's for utilities. It's for sewer drainage, storm drainage, things of that nature. That's just the way the subdivision was created, Gino, back in the 80s. And Ted, when he purchased what was the second lot out here, this was all in place at the time. And
was that for like future or something? Does the city of Derby even need the easement there anymore?
Yes, they have utilities going through there. They have cross country sewer and storm.
Oh,
yep.
Can I speak? Hi, this is Kim Shepherd.
We're going to have commission members make their comments first, and then we will open it up to the public. So if you can allow us the commission members to speak first, please. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Oh yeah, there's active utilities cutting through there. I think my understanding.
So there's already utilities going through the easement.
That's right.
Oh, okay. I thought it was for future. Okay.
Yeah, no.
That makes sense.
And the zoning regulations are pretty clear that if the easement exists, then it exists. Whether or not it's being actively used is sort of a separate question.
That was my question.
Yeah.
Okay.
There also, I also have been given information that there's a gas line that runs through that easement. I actually have been a copy sent to me showing a gas line. So that's something else that not only is it storm sewer and whatever, but there's also a gas line there.
Yeah, I've asked the applicant's surveyor to confirm that because he doesn't show that on his map. But and I don't know if that's something that they missed or if that's something that
They probably should just do a call before you dig, and anybody that has anything in there within the 48 hours will be out and marking it up.
Except for our WPCA, they don't mark laterals, they don't mark anything anymore.
They've already identified where the sewer runs through the property as best they can tell, and the applicant has asked his surveyor to go out there and locate what he can in the field.
Perfect.
If I'm looking at the map correctly, the lot one and lot two equal to 54,228 square feet.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Lot two is like 25,000 square feet
in
total. I did some quick math on the plan. I haven't had a plan from their surveyor verifying the number, but I estimate that they have about 13,000 square feet between the edge of the easement here and the edge of the property line here. So it appears to be deficient of that 15,000 as it is today.
And really the easiest way to do it would be just to slide that line south.
Yes. West. That would be a way to do it.
Understanding. You wouldn't have to go to the Board of Aldermen and ask for anything.
Yeah, my understanding is the applicant would prefer if houses could be constructed further over. So that's his preference to go the avenue he's taking.
But it's going to take some time. He's going to have to go to the Board of Aldermen. Yeah. And if they don't act on that first month, then it's going to be, 2 months.
Yep. Yep. He understands.
Okay.
Are there any other comments from commission members?
Ryan, what's the likelihood that the gas company would reduce their easement?
No idea. Okay. I'm not even certain, Dave. And I didn't put this in my comment letter because I was made aware of it just right before this meeting. But I'm not entirely certain that the gas easement is present. Now, the reason why I say that is there was a gas easement in the past, but the surveyor who prepared this map didn't note it. So perhaps, Dave, they have information that it doesn't exist anymore. Perhaps they just missed it. Either way, I've asked for their.
I'm just going by the block.
Yeah.
I'm just going by what they listed in terms of easements on the deed.
Yeah. No. What are the odds? I couldn't say.
All right.
Raul.
Yes.
We're under the public hearing portion, right?
Yes, we are.
Okay, so we still got to bring this under new business.
No. This it's required for this to be a public hearing per statute, right. State right. Statute. So this would only be taken up under new business if the public hearing is closed. Otherwise, it just, you know, would there be no discussion from the commission under new business. So this application was received at the regularly scheduled meeting in March or May. Regularly scheduled meeting in April, the applicant requested a special meeting of the commission, which was agreed to be held today. So it falls on the application under public hearing and under new business. But if this public hearing is not closed, which I suspect it won't be, then it won't be taken up under new business. It'll just be continued to the next meeting.
Okay, well, then, you know, we need this information because we don't know whether the it's resolvable, but we don't know where the property line is going to be or if the easement is going to be reduced.
Correct.
We'll go through a process, right? You know,
the only information we have right now is what's before us.
Agreed.
So, fully expect this to be continued, Ray.
So Ryan, is the app? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ray.
I'd like to make a motion and to continue the public hearing.
Hold on one second.
I have another question. I think it's for Brian Lima. Are we okay with the notices that went out for this application, for this public hearing? It seems that the property at 45 Franklin Avenue was not, it's an adjoining property. I'm not sure if that's required to receive notice, as well as Derbyshire condominiums.
Well, I know that question was directed to Brian, but I know that the applicant gave, or he was asked to give copies of his mailing receipts to staff, and I believe he sent them into Lisa. I have not had the chance to verify them, but you know, we could take a look. And
I'm only asking again because it listed the names and the properties that were notified on the application.
Right.
If any additional properties were added, then you know, it should be submitted.
I'd have to take a look, David, to see what notice was provided and what the regulations require. Okay.
Just so that we're not spinning our wheels tonight, you know, if more notices have to be sent out.
Well, like I said, Dave, I fully expect this public hearing to remain open. So that can be looked at.
So I guess my question was, Ryan, is the applicant going to go to the Board of Aldermen and then come back to us to see if he could get the easement reduced, or what would be the
authority to
the next step?
The authority to modify easements lies with the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen.
Right.
Not with this commission.
My question. So is he going to go there next before he comes back to us, or how is that going to work?
I believe he's already on their agenda for consideration. So that's his plan.
Perfect. Okay. So we need to wait until they make their decision, right?
Or if he decides just to shift a line over, it's that simple.
Okay. I'm following you.
Are there any other comments from commission members?
So we can't do anything here. We got to wait one way or another for either the Board of Aldermen or adjust that common lot.
I would agree with that.
So as I was going to say before, I'd like to make a motion.
Well,
until we get the rest of the information.
We do have the public here as well.
Somebody that needs to comment, Ray.
Yeah, there's a public wants to comment as well. Let's let them have an opportunity.
Ms. Shepherd is going to comment, Ray.
Yes.
Ryan?
Yes.
Right. Aside from making that easement in the applicant's favor, Would there also have to be something with the property lines of the easement as well? Because it looks like if you just move the property line between lot one and two, you're still in the easement with the easement's property lines, and you're not going to have a frontage for lot two.
Well, no, frontage is a separate question. They'll have the only requirement in the zoning regulations that has anything to do with easements is the lot area.
Okay.
Just the lot area.
Gotcha.
The applicant, the owner of lot two, future lot two, even the applicant today, if he wanted to, would have every right to install a driveway across this easement. Gotcha. The only thing the regulations compel anyone in this matter to do is provide lot area outside of the easement. But you could still have a lawn. There's lots of things you can still do with the property that has an easement on it, not just ignore it.
Are there any other comments from commission members before I open it up to the public? Anyone? So this is a public hearing. Please state your name and address for the record. For anyone who'd like to speak? Yes? Kim?
Kim.
Hi. This is Kim Shepherd, 14 Bonanto Drive. So I'm going to go ahead and speak and let you know my concerns. I became aware of this situation on 43 Franklin Avenue through Facebook. I did not receive a letter stating, you know, what's to be taken place. And had seen that this is a Zoom meeting, a public hearing tonight at 7 p.m. And it's to divide the two lots, subdivision 43 Franklin Avenue. So my property is down the hill in the back of 43 Franklin Avenue. Not knowing what the direct impact of this is going to be, I'm just very concerned because there is an easement that you are referring to that does have the water, gas lines, things like that, that could, you know, potentially have some construction activities. You know, I'm more concerned about future drainage, possible erosion, any type of property damage, you know, that may be affected by new construction. And also, you know, I do have a concern about, you know, when the development went in on Franklin Avenue, there were only two lots at that time. So Teddy's lot being one lot. And what changed, you know, in order to get that third lot now? It was initially two lots.
As I mentioned in the beginning, Ms. Shepherd, is that it was two lots. So the lot, this gray line here, it's very hard to see, I'm sure. But this gray line here represented the previous lot boundary. So you had one lot on the downgrading side of it where the applicant's house is, and then another lot over here. At some point in the past, Mr. Estewan owned both properties and elected to have them consolidated into one property. So now he's seeking to create it back to a two lot as it was originally, more or less as intended.
Okay, so
it's not making a third lot. It was two lot.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called a two lot re-subdivision because there's one lot today, and there's going to be two lots when it's done. So if that makes sense, you have lot one here, and you have lot two here. So I know the wording of a two-lot re-subdivision is a little strange, but at the end of the day, there'll be one additional house if this goes through.
Lots.
One additional lot.
So you're still two lots with potential of two homes, correct?
Two lots, two homes.
Two homes on those two properties.
Yes.
Yes.
but only one additional.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Additional. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So they you know, if you have a lot in an R3 zone, you're allowed a single family house, essentially. So Ted's house, applicant's house is here. There'd be another house presumably somewhere over here.
It was listed as a one lot to be sold, like in the past year. It was strictly just one lot being sold. So is it being split into two separate lots in the back?
No.
It's the side of the house?
It'll be one lot addition to what you see today. So what you see today is a house and a lawn. There'll be one additional house built.
So it'll be a total of two lots, including the applicant's lot.
Yeah.
Not three.
So we're talking about three lots then.
Yeah.
No, if you're splitting one lot into two, there's one house already on one lot.
It's one lot into two lots with the opportunity to construct one additional house. That's it.
Ryan, maybe you could blow that up for her so she could see, maybe explain it to her a little bit better.
Okay, so the property today includes the house, the pool, not right now, and a driveway. So this line here does not exist. So essentially what the applicant's looking to do is cut this in half. Essentially take the property, which is over an acre today, cut it in half. So you have one property, which will include the house, driveway, pool, some of the lawn, and the second lot, which will include the balance of the lawn, which also has the easement on it. If this gets approved and the applicant sells this property or looks to build on it, the applicant will be entitled to a single family house on what is shown as lot two. And that's, you know, that's about it. I mean, the R3 zone has other possible uses, but they're very limited. The intent of this, I'm sure, would be just to construct a single family home. There would not be an opportunity for two single family homes to be constructed, just one.
Did that answer your question, ma'am?
It does. Like I said, I'm more concerned about the construction part of it, and it, you know, my home is situated down the hill from theirs. So that's basically my concern.
So one of my recommendations that I included in the email that the commission member saw is that any impervious surfaces on this, including driveways, roof, structures, be directed either into surface rain gardens, underground chambers, or pipe directly into the storm drainage infrastructure so that there is really no opportunity for impervious surfaces to increase any runoff rates to neighboring properties. That's something that we typically look for in these type of developments. Now, in this case, because it's a re-subdivision, it doesn't technically have to, there doesn't have to be any plans to show how it could be built. But that would all occur at the plot plan level. That would be reviewed by Mr. White and the building official. And my recommendation that I gave to the commission is that any impervious surface be either, you know, piped into the city storm drainage system or into underground chambers or surface basin to mitigate any potential impacts to offsite properties.
Thank you so much.
Is there anyone else from the public? If there's no one else from the public, Ryan, should I make a motion to keep the public hearing open?
Yes, I would think that would be appropriate.
So that's the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Who made the motion?
Raul.
I made the motion to extend, to keep the public hearing open.
Okay.
Is there a second?
Okay.
Ray, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So, Ryan, will this be open in our regular scheduled meeting, or will
get as much information?
Hello. Sorry.
Yes, it will be. It will be. It will be on the agenda for the next regular scheduled meeting, unless, for example, if the applicant is still trying to work things out and there's no new information, perhaps that would be, tabled to a subsequent meeting. But that the starting point would be that it would be on the agenda for the regularly scheduled meeting in May.
Okay.
As a public hearing.
Ryan, how many days do we have to close the public hearing?
You have 35 days to keep the public hearing open, and the applicant can grant up to 65 days of extension. So today is the opening of the public hearing. The clock starts today, and with a possible 65-day extension, you're looking at 100 days to keep the public hearing open. Gotcha. Up to.
So because the public hearing is extended to next month, do we talk about 7A, new business, or do we?
There will be no discussion. That? There'll be no discussion under 7A.
They'll table that till next meeting?
Yep.
Okay, I think.
Raul, you're doing such a good job. Yeah. I'm going to let you keep continuing.
That's what 17 years will do.
I've been 26 years. I've been waiting to talk and say something from the other side of the table, and I couldn't.
Okay, so I hand it over to our chair.
Do you have to? All right, we'll move on to 8B, Old Business Affordable Housing Plan, consideration adoption of the state-mandated affordable housing plan in accordance with Connecticut General Statute 830J, discussion possible action. Ryan, you want to talk about this?
Something came out late. Yeah, we got an updated document from Mr. DeGon from DiCarlo and Dahl addressing the comments raised by commission members, including removal of the potential development of Dale Avenue property, removal of references to accessory dwellings, and also removal of language regarding diversity in housing stock, which the commission felt was covered under other state statutes. As far as I believe all of the comments from commission members have been addressed, unless someone else has anything. Mr. DeGon is not available, but I think hopefully we're able to move this thing on.
Okay. Dave, were you satisfied with the answer that you got? Because I know you sent an email to all the commission members regarding.
That was going
to
be my question as well.
The accessory. And you're spot on. You're right on that. We opted out of that.
I'm so satisfied. I'm ready to make a motion to approve this fair housing plan as amended as of April 29th, 2024.
I'll second that motion. Okay. Good. Motion been made and seconded. Any discussion from commission member?
I do have one point. I believe the advice of Mr. Lima's on the call is that this be referred to the Board of Aldermen for their approval as well. Is that correct, Mr. Lima?
Yes, I was just going to indicate that at the last meeting, based upon the language of the statute, it's our recommendation that this commission treat it similarly to an 8-24 referral back to the Board of Aldermen so that they would be the agency or commission empowered by the statute to adopt it on behalf of the municipality. So I think if you approve it, it should be with a referral or a positive recommendation to the alderman.
Could Dave amend his motion to that?
That would be appropriate.
Okay.
So this has to go to the Board of Aldermen for approval?
Adoption. And, yep.
So did it have to come to the Board of Planning and Zoning then? If they have do they have the final say?
We discussed at the last meeting, I think there's a variety of approaches taken by a number of municipalities throughout the state. usually when the planning commission adopts the plan, it's based upon a delegation by the legislative body to the planning commission, where they request that the planning commission adopt it on behalf of the municipality. But that direction typically comes from the legislative board to the planning commission. But in this case, I'm not exactly sure how it ended up before this commission historically, but I think the prudent course of action would be to approve it or disapprove it, and then refer it to the alderman to ultimately adopt the plan or a plan on behalf of the municipality. So
Chino,
sorry,
all the work,
ahead, Brian. That's my question.
Was a plus, because correct, we got it to where we wanted it, and correct, Dave made the motion to approve it, and with a positive referral to the board, this final copy should go to the board of aldermen and alderwomen with a positive referral adopted by the Planning and Zoning Commission.
And then that's my next question. Hypothetically, because this is all hypothetical here, because we don't know traditionally how it goes, and other municipalities do it other ways, but if we give them a positive referral, they could say, no, we want to change it, or they could vote it down. They can do whatever they choose there, correct? Which then supersedes all the work that we did. This is just a hypothetical.
Well, I think the
input is that right?
I think the input of the Planning Commission is appropriate.
Oh, 100%.
But you're correct that
it's
a recommendation, and
right,
ultimately the Board of Aldermen would have the authority to either
accept your
recommendation or not.
Right. That's good. I just wanted to make sure that I was, you know, following along here. That's all. Perfect.
Yeah,
thank
you're
you.
Right on. You're right on point.
Gotcha.
Okay, Dave.
Mr. Chairman, thanks for the input from the other members on this. I'd like to amend my motion to recommend to the Board of Aldermen the adoption of the housing plan as amended as of April 29th, 2024.
And I'll second that.
Okay.
Is there any discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, we'll move on. Payment of bills, if deemed correct?
No bills, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you, Ryan. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay, we'll see you in a few weeks.
Who seconded
that?
Gino. I seconded it. Gino did.
7:41 p.m.